Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of John, the second chapter, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their table. Making a whip of cords, Jesus drove them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise up it." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture had said this, and they believed that the word of Jesus was spoken. For the word of God in scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is called The Head of Christ. It's a painting by Warner Stallman. It's one of the most famous paintings of Jesus. Certainly the most popular is The Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci. But this Head of Christ has sold over 1 billion reproductions, from wall hangings to pocket-sized photos that were given to soldiers as they went off to war. With this kind of popularity, and that it has been so widely distributed, this becomes a visualization and persona of Jesus. So, when you see this picture, what story do you tell yourself about Jesus? I think, well, he certainly looks well-groomed. His hair is nicely combed, and his beard is trimmed. He looks to be clean. But what about his temperament? He seems mild-mannered, calm, serious, maybe a bit stern, but his eyes are soft. When we have an image that has been so widely distributed, we have expectations about who someone is. And when we hear stories about Jesus in today's scripture, we have to rethink this image that we have of Jesus in our head. We have today that I think we need to rethink based on this story, and I mean rethink in a good way. Today we see a bit of a different Jesus than the one that was portrayed in this painting. Today we see an angry Jesus. The anger is noticeable in that Jesus is making a whip, and he's overturning tables and causing a ruckus. So this calm, clean-cut Jesus, what is he so angry about? Well, we know the setting is in the temple in Jerusalem around Passover, a week-long Jewish celebration. Folks from all over the countryside would come to exercise their faith. So the city would have been filled with folks from all over the countryside. Some estimate that the population of Jerusalem would expand to well over 100 5,000 people. And the scripture lays out a really normal scene. Money changers are present because society is currently under Roman rule. So the currency was Roman, a currency that was not accepted at the temple. So there had to be money changers there. Don't you wonder why Jesus was mad about that? And there are animals there too. Again, perfectly normal, because animal sacrifice was a normal ritual and an important function of the faith of the day. Don't you wonder why that made Jesus mad? Jesus was angry because people were being exploited. The exchange rate from the Roman currency to the temple currency likely favored the Romans. The animals being sacrificed didn't meet the purity standards of Jewish law. So tables were overturned and voices were raised. And Jesus saw the signs of some deeper reality going on. This action makes us sit up and notice. Remember, those celebrating came from the countryside. They would not have been wealthy people or educated people. And therefore, not everyone knew they were being cheated or exploited. But Jesus did. And this was an act of injustice that he called out, that the rich were preying on the poor. Jesus is transforming our consciousness by ridding the temple and the society of practices that were separating the temple from the heart of Judaism. We need to sit up and take notice. I think this makes us all angry. It's righteous anger, the kind of anger not considered sinful. We should be angry at any kind of injustice. But this act of Jesus leads to his death sentence, because his dramatic display of righteous anger made the Romans uncomfortable. The Roman guards, foreigners in this country, would have hated rabble-rousers, and they would have not liked such a celebration of liberation and justice. Jesus was not this persona. Jesus was a troublemaker. Do you see troublemaker in this portrait? How comfortable are we calling out injustice, calling out people misbehaving? This was not only an act of calling out injustice, this was a prophetic act. And that's what prophets do. They call out injustices in purposeful and dramatic actions. And Jesus' actions, his message of compassion and injustice, cost him his life. The spiritual truth of this scripture is that the temple will be destroyed, but not the building of the temple, but the body of Jesus. What does all this mean? Lent offers an opportunity to ask whether we may be destroying the temple. Knowing this, Jesus is always trying to change our consciousness through love and healing. And yes, Jesus overturns tables and creates an angry ruckus to call out the systems of inequality and oppression. We have modern day examples that need us as individuals and as church, overturning tables. Jesus' prophetic action is not just about systems of oppression, but our own spiritual oppression. So during Lent, we explore our own journey, what looks calm on the outside that others can't see, that may be unsettling. And we should just listen to that voice of the Spirit of God guiding us, because it's there. So do you all remember the movie Amistad? I believe you watched it as a congregation a few years ago. Amistad is the name of a slave ship traveling from Cuba to the U.S. in 1839. It's carrying a cargo of Africans who have been sold into slavery, taken on board and chained in the cargo hold of the ship. And as the ship is crossing from Cuba to the U.S., the tribal leader from Africa leads a mutiny and takes over the ship. So the ship continues to sail, hoping they will find their way back to Africa. But instead, they are misdirected. And when they reach the United States, they are imprisoned as runaway slaves. They don't speak a bit of English. And it seems like they are doomed to die for killing their captors. But an abolitionist lawyer decides to take their case, arguing that they are free citizens of another country and not slaves at all. The case finally gets to the Supreme Court, where John Quincy Adams makes an impassioned and eloquent plea for their release. And it took church, a group of good congregationalists, you know, part of our UCC heritage, to get mad, to overturn the tables of injustice. They stepped in because these people had been stolen as free individuals from their homeland and were going to be sold into slavery. The church got mad, and these native Africans were finally sent back to their homeland. That's the role the church can take when they get mad at systems of oppression. That's the church overturning tables. It's overturning tables in our institutions and our own spiritual journey. Our call to action this morning, yes, we have a call to action. I know that we're all tired by this pandemic and this is and was an unwelcome visitor in our life and has impacted every aspect of our life. So I know we're tired, but this pandemic is the perfect time to look back and inventory our life to see what we need to move forward. What has this pandemic done to our spiritual identity that we need to reclaim? What are the lessons there to be learned before we learn new ones? And what do we do with our righteous anger? And then we can fearlessly be grateful for what we have already been given. Tables need overturned in almost every corners of our lives. And I think it's important to take care of our own temple, our own bodies. Let's not leave this pandemic without this call to action. Amen.